Are you looking to grow? Are you looking to be able to understand what real discipleship is? Or do you have a church or a body of believers that are looking for something to help you get past just the normal Bible study to actually be able to apply the Word of God? Well, we have a book for you. It's called Embracing the Truth. Go to tswrightspeaks.com. Message me and get your copy today. Again, tswrightspeaks.com. I look forward to hearing from you, and have a blessed day. Welcome, everyone, to the Kingdom Crossroads, and I'm your host, T.S. Wright, and I am so glad you could join us today. If you haven't already, hit that follow button and give us a like, as that helps us to continue to bring you the content that we feel so blessed to be able to give to you. Well, today we've got someone on the show that is going to bring us a great message, all right? And he has a ministry and he has a book, and I want you to just kind of sit back, relax, dial in. And I'm getting ready to let him just tell his story to you so you will have a really good understanding of what he calls a forge point, all right? And Forge Point is the name of his ministry, all right? And he's going to talk to you about that and how that works as we move on in the show. But let's give our undivided attention right now to Mr. Randall Dupree, all right? And he is the author. He's an author as well as heading this ministry. Randall, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here with you today.
All right. Well, Randall, I tell you what, let's just get this thing kicked off the way it should be. And that is, let's introduce you to our audience. So let's talk about your story and you basically just sharing how God has impacted the journey that you are on. Take it away, Randall.
Yeah. So my journey started, I would say, when I was around 15 years old, when I got saved. I was a young guy. I was a teenager, was not someone who grew up in the church or like really grew up in a, home that had a lot of faith. Actually my mom, I was raised by a single mom. She actually had a background where she was raised by a mother who was a Catholic and a father who was Jehovah's Witness. And so, yeah, so as a young child, got a lot of mixed messages. I remember attending Kingdom Hall, Catholic services, Baptist services. We were kind of all over the place. But it really wasn't until I was about 15 when I really was confronted with the gospel. And it was, actually through a younger sibling who had joined the church and had started going to a youth group with her friend. And then I started attending just to kind of see what it was all about. And the Lord really spoke to me, and he worked through that youth group and through that youth pastor to really just reveal himself to me. And, it was, I would say, several months of just wrestling with my faith and, debating the youth pastor and asking lots of questions. And at some point along the way, I heard one of those Wednesday night messages where the youth pastor said, if you've never, prayed this prayer and never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then I invite you to do so. And I remember just thinking at the time, God had already been working in my heart. And I just remember thinking, like, I know that I'm a believer. I know that I believe that Jesus died for my sins and that he is living inside of me. Let me just pray this prayer and make it official. Amen. And so, 15 years old, that's kind of where my faith journey started. And then, I just had a zeal for the word and for the scriptures, throughout my youth. I mean, a lot of people that I spoke to thought I was going to be a pastor, but I'd never really felt called into full-time ministry in that way. I've always kind of been called more to minister through my work in, just the corporate world and through just, my interactions with people every day. So I spent about the next 23 years after graduating high school working in various different manufacturing companies, mostly aerospace. Some of the companies that I worked for were companies like Trane, Goodrich, United Technologies, Boeing, GKN. And most of my work with these companies has been focused on transformation. So when you think about transformation in that type of environment, what does that look like? Well, it's a lot of like lean principles. If you're familiar with lean and continuous improvement, implementing lean to improve safety, quality, and flow, reduce costs, improve efficiency and customer satisfaction, things like that. And I've done transformation for over 20 years with these various different companies. And one of the things that I've noticed along the way is a lot of times transformation fails, or at least if it is successfully implemented, it doesn't always stick. And a large, you know, I would say factor for that is the leadership that supports it. And so from my perspective, I thought, okay, well, if I'm seeing that transformation in a lot of cases is not working right, and it's not necessarily because the tools are wrong or because the implementation method is you know, off, if it's because of this culture and this environment that is really supported by leadership, then I should probably learn more about leadership. And it's interesting because, you know, I started off talking about my testimony and how, you know, I came to be a man of faith and a believer in Jesus Christ. And what I found was what was missing really was faith and leadership. And some of the best leadership teachers that I've had a chance to study have actually made that connection. So, for example, John Maxwell, he's the leadership guru, and he is a former pastor, right? And he talks a lot about Jesus as the high road leader, for example, and how like the best leaders actually demonstrate a lot of the principles that Jesus demonstrated when he walked on this earth, right? And so that kind of led me to wanting to become a certified Maxwell team member. So I actually just recently joined the John Maxwell Certified Leadership Team to start that process and start that journey, because I do think it's very important. And whether we're talking about personal, professional, or organizational transformation, leadership is just so important. You know, you got to start with yourself first, right? One of the things that John Maxwell likes to say is start with yourself, lead yourself first. And so whether you're talking about, you know, personal transformation, trying to, you know, lose weight or, you know, eat better or work out more or save more money or whatever your goals are personally, you have to start with leading yourself. If you're talking about running a business and creating the right type of business culture where you have, you know, high customer satisfaction, low employee turnover, or if you're leading a giant corporation that you're literally trying to, you know, build F-15s that protect the country, right? Like when I worked at Boeing, I mean, leadership is just so important at various different levels. And so that's really what I'm passionate about. That's really what I focus on in my company, ForgePoint. And so ForgePoint, if you're wondering, what is a ForgePoint, right? ForgePoint is just the metaphor for transformation. The ForgePoint is literally just the moment and place and time where the temperature, the pressure, the intentionality all come together so that way something could be transformed, whether it's a piece of steel being transformed into a tool or whether it's a human heart that's being transformed into something that God could use. That is the point where it happens, at that forge point. So that's the name of my company. That's what I'm all about, is leading transformation and just helping people to just find those first few steps, because that's usually the hardest. Amen. Taking those first couple of steps.
Amen. Amen. So here's a question for you, as we've, you know, as you've been talking about your passion and all these pieces, you know, what is, give us an example of maybe a place where you had to dive in, you know, something that you've had to do where you had to help lead transformation, a transformational change, and, you know, talk to us about how that works.
Yeah. So, you know, a few years ago, I was asked to lead a transformation on a program within the Boeing company. And really, this transformation was going to be enterprise-wide. So they were really looking at just deploying a new operating system. And so we did what most companies did. We pulled in some consultants, and I won't name the name of the group, but we pulled in a pretty prestigious consultant company, and they came in and they started with a cultural assessment. And they just kind of, you know, interviewed various different leaders across the organization. They interviewed, you know, mechanics on the shop floor and all sorts of support staff and at every level in between. They pulled data. They looked at all of our analytics. They did what consultants do. And at the end of the day, they came back to us and they said, you know, we would love to take your money and we'd love to help you do this, but you guys are not ready. You're just not ready for it. And when we asked why aren't we ready? They said, well, because you don't have the right culture. You don't have the right, the leadership principles that we're looking for to really sustain this thing is where we should focus on first. Because otherwise we're just going to be kind of wasting our time and we're not going to really see any change. And that was an eye-opening moment for me because that's when it really first started to click that, you know, most of my career, we had been all about implementing tools, trying to implement different tools, things like Six Sigma, lean principles like 5S, various different tools in the lean toolbox. And a lot of times they were implemented unsuccessfully. And now I was starting to get a picture as to why. And of course, since then, I've had a lot more conversations with these folks and I've had a lot more training that's kind of helped me to understand the why and some of those leadership principles that were missing. But that was a pretty big eye opener because anytime a consulting group is turning down money, you got to really ask yourself, what's going on here?
Exactly. Yeah. And I will tell you, as a former coach, a college and high school basketball coach of 18 years, as well as coaching other sports and leading people in ministry for over 30 in different capacities, that leadership is about setting a standard and then having a system of accountability. If you don't have those things, the tools matter not. They don't. You can't, because I mean, you can have great athletes, for instance, and you can have all the equipment and everything else. But if you're not holding those players to a standard every day, they're not going to perform at the level that they're capable of. Those tools have no meaning. So there has to be standards with which we approach. And I will just say this out here, and not to toot somebody's horn, but if people really want to understand how to get an organization moving, listen to Nick Saban. Nick Saban is one of the best people I've ever listened to. And I've listened to a lot of leaders over the years, and Maxwell being one of them. Nick Saban isn't a guy that it's not just something in book and paper. He's a guy that actually knows how to implement it. And he's been highly successful for a variety of reasons. Obviously, he's had the talent and able to recruit the talent. But the fact that he held those guys to certain standards, even when he would face people that had the same talent, he just had a hard time beating them because these guys played to a certain standard all the time.
Yeah.
And that's an important aspect that you have to bring to the table that leadership really has to bring out in people. And so, you know, you don't have to be mean about it, but you do have to have standards and you have to have a system of accountability.
Absolutely.
So that is a massive part of leadership. Yeah. And you as a leader have to live up to those standards.
100%. Yeah. And I actually talk about that a lot in my book, Everyday Lean, because there's a saying in the lean world, which is where there is no standard, there is no Kaizen. And Kaizen just means continuous improvement, right? Yep. So where there is no standard, there is no continuous improvement. And so you're right. It all starts with having a standard. And, you know, I've worked with so many leaders where, you know, we've discussed this and they've, you know, brought up one of their problems is that they don't have a good system of accountability and their people are not following standards, not following their standard work or their desktop procedures or, you know, whatever standards that they have to follow. And then I'll ask the leaders, well, do you have standards? Do you have leader standard work, for example? And they look at me kind of confused, like, what is leader standard work? And it's like, well, if you are not modeling that behavior yourself by actually having your own standards, how do you then go and tell your people in any kind of way that is convincing that they need to follow their standards as well? It makes it very difficult to have those conversations.
Amen. Amen. And you hit it right on the head. If that leader doesn't have standards that they live up to and they're not modeling it, it's not going to matter for everybody else. It's just, you're never going to get to where you need to go. So as you have alluded to already, you have a book called Everyday Lean.
I do.
Why don't you give us some insight into that book? Just, you know, kind of talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. So Lean, L-E-A-N, for those who are not familiar with it, is really all about just removing waste out of processes. So everything we do, whether it's something you're doing at home or something you're doing at work, whether you're building an F-15 or whether you're baking a cake, there are processes involved. And those processes have waste. Every process has waste in it.
Right.
So the eight wastes that we use in Lean to identify waste, we use acronym downtime, and that stands for defects, overproduction, waiting, non-utilized talent, transportation, inventory, motion, and excess processing. So in my book, Everyday Lean, really what I try to focus on is a couple of things. One of them is identifying the waste in your life and in the processes that surround you. Again, whether it's at home or at work, whether you own your own business or you work for a large corporation, whether we're talking about just getting to work, your commute, or you know how you spend your time outside of work, there's going to be waste involved. In my mind, the first step is just learning to see the waste. So that's kind of where I focus my book on, is on the waste and helping people to see it as it shows up in their lives. Because we all have waste. We all have opportunities for improvement. And it kind of starts by knowing what it is and seeing it when it happens. So really, my intent is to give people the language and the labels to put on it. So when they're seeing it, they know what it is. Because a lot of this stuff, we do it kind of out of human nature, right? We all kind of intuitively find ourselves doing one-step problem solving and eliminating waste where we can, but we don't always have the language to identify what it is that we're really doing. So I focus a lot of my energy in this book on just helping people to see it and learn about it so that they could then start to remove it.
Amen. Amen. So let me ask you a question. What is a good practical, maybe first, second step, one to two, first two steps here, that somebody could do to start to implement that right now?
Yeah. So there's a couple things. So one thing I always tell people is, if I ask, you know, 99% of people, where do they keep their silverware in their kitchen? It's probably in the top drawer, right? Mm-hmm. No one's keeping their silverware in the bottom drawer or in the pantry or in a cupboard, right? And why is that? And we usually don't spend a lot of time thinking about things like that. It just feels right. It feels natural. But the real reason is we're trying to eliminate waste, because there's a lot of extra motion, a lot of extra processing, a lot of wasted time and energy with going to get a fork if it's in a closet versus if it's in the easiest drawer to get to. Now, some of the other items in your kitchen that, you know, you might not use as often, those kind of things you might put in a pantry or in a cabinet or the bottom drawer, right? Things like some of the Dutch ovens or pans or things like that you use, maybe the spatulas are in a lower drawer or an island drawer. So those are some things that we're already kind of doing naturally, just out of human nature, that really is eliminating waste, you know, from our processes just at home. Another thing, you know, for anyone who maybe is familiar with Jordan Peterson and his 12 laws for living, one of them is clean your room. And honestly, like I bring that up because 5S is something that we talk about a lot in Lean, and I think it's something we could apply at home. And what 5S is, it stands for sort, straighten, shine, standardize, and sustain. And really what it means is clean your room. Clean your room, keep it clean, have a standard for keeping it clean, and don't let it get back into the state of chaos that it was in before. It's all about removing the things that you don't need to free up clutter from your life. And if you're like me, from your mind, because I'm one of those people who can't think clearly when I'm surrounded by clutter and chaos.
Yeah.
If I'm going to have a quality, you know, quiet time or just get into the word, like I can't do it in a mess. I have to clean up first. Yeah. I just can't concentrate. I just can't think. And for a lot of people, they may feel that way, but again, not really have the language or really the labels to put on it to really connect the dots. But there's something there. So, you know, like I mentioned, there's things we're already doing. But if not, I would say start with 5S. Go clean up your room. And cleaning up your room starts with that sorting, which is all about just getting rid of the stuff you don't ever use or you don't really need. And then finding a home for everything else that's left.
Amen. Amen. You know, it's funny. I listened to a guy give a motivational speech one time. And you know what the first thing he said to do? Make your bed.
That's great advice.
Make your bed. It'll get you moving. It'll get you motivated. And then, you know what he said? Clean your room.
There you go.
He talked about have things in order. You got to have order. And I think order is important. You know, we sit here and we talk about a lot of big picture things and that sort of thing, but just even in little things, folks, God is a God of order. He is. He's a God of order. He created the earth with order. The enemy that attacks us wants chaos, but God wants order, and he brings order into your life. Now, sometimes he'll mess up the order when the order is not following the pattern that he wants. You know, he has to change the processes and stuff to get people in alignment. But then he always brings it back to, if it's God, a point of order. There will be order. So keep that in mind. Now, Randall, if I wanted to get my hands on this book, all right, that you have, how would I do so?
Yeah, so you could always go to Amazon or Barnes & Nobles. Matter of fact, it's available for sale on both platforms, but if you actually are a Kindle Unlimited member, you could read it for free right now on Kindle Unlimited. So those are two great places to start. You could also go to my website, forgepointllc.net. It's available there as well.
Awesome. Awesome. And of course, he just got me to the next part, was his website. Now, one of the things I noticed on your website, I wanted to kind of wrap up the show with this, is that talk about you actually have it where people can contact you and actually schedule and book a consultation with you. Talk about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So I offer a free 30-minute discovery call with anyone who is interested in contacting me. And we could talk about, you know, what sort of transformation are you looking at getting started? And what is the, you know, scope and breadth of that transformation? So some of the services I'll offer, you know, in response to that would be, you know, mastermind groups, which I do have one that's going to be starting up in a few weeks. That's going to be geared towards pastors. And we're going to be focusing on John Maxwell's 15 invaluable laws of growth. So that's one option. I also do public speaking events and training sessions for folks. Just depending on what the need is, right? So 30 minutes with me, we'll kind of talk through, you know, what it is you're trying to accomplish and figure out what the right tool and what the right resources are.
Amen. Amen. And so go to his website right now. If you are interested in a consultation, book a consultation. Or if you just want to get a hold of his book, kind of give you a good starting point, get on his website, go to Amazon or go to Barnes & Noble, and get his book. Of course, if you have the Kindle Unlimited, you can just download the book and start reading right now. So with that said, Randall, I want you to kind of close us with, give us kind of a closing thought about really what your ministry is, and just leave everybody with something to think about.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I would just say that there's a lot of times when, you know, we know that there's change that we need to implement, but we're not sure where to start. And sometimes it's because we just are really not aware of what the steps are. Sometimes it's because we're overwhelmed with the number of steps or how long the transformation is going to take. So the best piece of advice I could give to anyone would be, you know, first of all, pray about it, because if you're even thinking about it, it might be something that the Lord has put on your heart that he wants you to take action on. And then two, just start taking action. Just start with the very smallest step you could think of, whether that, you know, is reaching out to me for a consultation or watching a YouTube video or, you know, Googling it. You know, look at the very smallest step that you could take and just take it. A step that's so small that it won't cause any pain and you could get it done immediately. Because, you know, momentum will start to build and success will breed more success. And next thing you know, you're going to have taken 50 or 100 steps and you won't be able to believe how far along you are in the journey. And then, you know, the last thing about it is, you know, as you start to get going, don't worry so much about the destination, but learn to enjoy the process. Because anytime you're going through a transformation, you're in the forge. There's going to be heat, there's going to be pressure, and it's going to be tough. But you got to learn to love the process and just make it part of your life, make it part of your standard, and then you'll be able to maintain it and keep it going until you get to where you're trying to get to.
Amen. Amen. Folks, make your bed.
Make your bed.
Make your bed. That's always that first step, right? So, Randall, it's been great to have you on the show. Thank you for imparting that wisdom to us. And folks, I'm going to tell you right now, jump on his website, either book a consultation, get his book. Certainly don't let time pass, because you'll put it down and then forget about it. And then things will kind of, you know, life will get in the way without making the changes that you know need to be made or that the Lord is leading you to make. So, Randall, thank you again for joining us and being on the show. I want to thank everyone for being a part of the Kingdom Crossroads community, as we feel so blessed to have you listening in on our show and being a part of all of this. On behalf of myself and Randall, I'm going to close as I always do. Now go forth in total surrender to the one who owns and reigns over all creation, and let the great harvest begin.